You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast from 1600 ESPN. It's the Gym Class with Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on 1600 ESPN KGYM.
Has there ever been more hand-wringing or angst for another 6-2 football team? That is going to be the big topic today. 319-366-1600. That is the text line. That is the phone line as well. Again, 319-366-1600 as we welcome you into a Monday edition of the Gym Class here at KGYM. Great to have you aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette, Isaac on the other side of the glass, all with you here today. And we are presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Each and every day here on the program, learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. Again, 319-366-1600. Text line available to you right now. And phone lines as well at 319-366-1600 here on 1600 ESPN, as well as 102.3 FM in Cedar Rapids. In Iowa City, 106.3 FM, KGYM radio stream, mobile app, and smart speaker. As Mark joins me on a Monday in Eastern Iowa, where the sun did come out here today. How you doing?
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And there was that game.
Tyler Badgen even couldn't make you happy this weekend, could he?
Well, he did, but that was not what people are talking about today. Let's put it that way.
No, they aren't. Isaac, hi. Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon. It was certainly an interesting weekend. We can say that, and we'll let you guys discuss how interesting that weekend was.
You're happy the Iowa women's soccer team is in the Big Ten tournament.
That's right. Despite losing to Michigan State, who's really good, they won the regular season. They are in the tournament, and they are just barely snuck in as the 8th seed there.
Who are they playing the first game?
They're playing Michigan State back-to-back.
Great. It'll fantastic.
Probably be a rough match, but they're really young, so experience is always worthwhile.
There you go. Maybe people can, climb on board the women's soccer bandwagon.
I think the one time that they've won the Big Ten, they were the last team in.
Correct.
So, you never know. They've done it before, the upsets in 2020, so never say never.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. And Mark, what everyone is talking about, and it's really, there are many facets to this. There are many sidebars to it. Iowa's loss to Minnesota on Saturday. There's one less pig in the state of Iowa on this Monday after the weekend. I think it's pretty much divided equally between people wanting to talk about how just incredibly awful officiating is, especially one particular call with just a little less than 2 minutes remaining in Iowa City on Saturday, to the lack of offense for this Iowa football team, and also divided between the future of what is going to happen as far as this Iowa football team is concerned. Like I said, I think it's pretty much divided among those three subjects here today.
I have two simple statements to start out the show, and I have plenty of notes to, delve in further. Number one, in my opinion, Iowa got robbed. Number two, there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
And number three, don't throw stuff onto the field. Please don't do that. It's a bad look. And to be honest, if that was an NFL game, they'd be looking through videos right now and sending out letters that, you're not coming and you're not invited to Kinnick Stadium anymore. Whatever the situation, don't do that. Well, let's start with the call. And I immediately following the football game got a hold of a couple referees that I know and ask them their opinion on that. Have they ever seen that? Is that a thing? and pretty much everybody, and now we know on Monday, 48 hours afterwards, exactly, we know everything there is to know about that particular rule. It all comes down to this, Mark. 319-366-1600. We'll start with that. It comes down to that. It's a very subjective call. It's a rule that probably, with everything else that officials have to take care of and police in the world of football, they shouldn't have to make a judgment call on whether Cooper DeJean or whomever, somebody in the North Carolina-Virginia game, which we saw clips of all weekend, three other clips, et cetera, shouldn't have to worry about if Cooper DeJean's hand went above the helmet or not in that situation. That's number one. Number two is, and the Big Ten can sugarcoat this all they want, but they were not reviewing that play to see if Cooper DeJean made an invalid fair catch signal or whichever, however you want to deem it, fair catch signal. They were looking to see if Cooper DeJean ran out of bounds. He didn't. Touchdown should stand. Iowa wins an ugly game, more than likely. Another thing about it is that Iowa still had, what, a minute 49 to get into field goal range and possibly win the game despite what happened or did not happen as far as that punt return is concerned? Didn't do it. Iowa had, what, 8 yards of offense in the second half of that football game. So many things revolving around that particular play. And, of course, to even break it down further, now you have people saying, well, that was the greatest smokescreen in the world. Now Kirk Ferentz or Brian Ferentz or whomever, they don't have to discuss anything that went on as far as the offense is concerned. All that basically the post-game news conference came down to was that particular call. And it was fresh in the mind of Kirk Ferentz, and he was a little perturbed about it, no doubt about it. And here we are, going into a bye week with a 6-2 football team, now that pretty much, like I said to start the show, has brought angst and hand-wringing to everyone out there. 319-366-1600, Mark.
I'm not going to argue with anybody that says that Iowa lost it because of only 127 yards total offense, 11 yards rushing after 200 the previous week, three turnovers. I can't argue that. But this play happened, and you cannot convince me otherwise that DeJean was not signaling for a fair catch. Okay, it's termed an invalid signal. What does that mean? Well, look at DeJean. He's pointing to the ball for his teammates, and with his left hand, it's like side to side. Never raised it above his head. Says he's never signaled a fair catch with his left arm. I want to see video of the time he did. But there's no flag on the play, no whistle. Officials ruled the touchdown when DeJean got to the end zone. And you're quite right. Everybody believed that. And I'd like to know what Kirk Ferentz and P.J. Fleck were told. What are we reviewing here? I have not read that. But the review clearly was whether DeJean was in bounds. And he was. And for all intents and purposes, that was an Iowa score. And now the Big Ten coordinator of officials has talked to media and said essentially that call should have been blown dead. And here's the interesting thing. Once the replay begins, all aspects of a play can be looked at. Really?
You know how many times the Ohio State Buckeye lineman absolutely had a two-point takedown on Penn State guys on Saturday?
You're looking at a holding call, or that's not reviewable, but a targeting call. Oh, no, there was a hold over there, too. on and on and on. But the ineptitude of the offense probably was the underlying factor that Iowa didn't win the game. 25 yards is all they had to go in the last minute plus to get into reasonable field goal range for a very reliable place kicker. Couldn't do it.
With the wind.
Sack, incompletion, and then interception. So, I mean, I think there's confusion on the rule. You mentioned the Virginia-North Carolina game. I saw that video. The receiver, the punt returner, didn't do anything different than Cooper DeJean did. And I've seen two or three other, games in which is similar. I mean, at best, it's called unevenly. At worst, it's a horrible rule that ought to be looked at. And a lot of folks pointed their finger at referee Tim O'Day, who was suspended in 2016 for two games for a really awful call in the Oklahoma State Central Michigan game. Folks have to remember that O'Day didn't make this ultimate decision. He could have stepped in and said, yeah, we went over this with the coaches in pregame. We're going to call a fair catch when the arm is raised above the shoulders. He could have stepped in with the replay officials and said, this is what our discussion was. But he didn't. The ultimate decision maker is the replay official in the Kinnick Stadium booth. They go to Pittsburgh, which is a temporary location until they move to Chicago. They go to Pittsburgh. The replay official is on the phone with these guys, and the replay official in the booth has the ultimate call. So, I mean, it's just convoluted.
I have said a million times in this program, officiating is broken in college and pro football. And it was broken the minute replay came in. Because, and I understand, there have been a lot of plays that have been fixed due to replay. But you have just as many meltdowns because of exactly what happened on Saturday. And the overlying part of it is that it made officials robots. They do not, they have to look at one another. A simple offside call or a false start, now you need three referees to come in and huddle. And, 5 yards, false start. What replay has ruined college and professional officiating. 319-366-1600, and alluding to that earlier, 0945 in the text line. We got a lot of texts. We'll get to as many as we can here. Do you guys think P.J. Fleck knew that rule? No, I don't think he did. They went over it, like Kirk said, after the game in his news conference. They always go over what the coaches, referees ask. Okay, is there anything you want us to look at? Here's what we want your kick returners, punt returners to do. If they want a fair catch, you're going to have to signal it, et cetera, et cetera. They go over that before every particular football game, no matter what. And, yeah. 319-366-1600. Before we get to the text, let's go first to Mark and Marion, who has the first say on this today. How you doing, Mark?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for taking my call. Hey, how bad is Joey Labus? I mean, if the best we've got is Deacon Hill, that's just not good.
Well, that's the second part of this whole equation, and we're going to get to that coming up in a little bit. Kirk Ferentz was asked about it again in his news conference after the game and was pretty adamant about the fact that they watch practice, they evaluate, and Deacon Hill is the guy. So take that for
that's the problem, I think, is there, these are the guys that are recruiting the players to a Big Ten team, and the best that Iowa can come up with, and counting on Cade McNamara to stay healthy the entire season, I don't know. It's just that's what worries me the most about Iowa.
Yeah. All right. Mark, thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
You bet. Thanks.
All right. Let's just get to some of the texts here at 319-366-1600. They lost because of the bad call from Ryan and Walford, but that's not the reason they lost. 2 yards in the second half, and Brian's still sitting in his office, and not making him available to the media is absolutely cowardly. Terrible officiating, but that shouldn't have mattered. Iowa should have had that game won a long time before that happened. We'll get to that. We'll get to that coming up in just a little bit. Better play calling, a lot of folks talking about that. I will say this, Mark, and one of the things I was going to bring up was, as long as people are still putting fannies in the seats at Kinnick Stadium, that's a show that you're behind this football team 110%. I know you can't give 110%. 34-35 saying, I'm giving up my season tickets. I am not spending another dime on this garbage. So, yeah. I don't know.
I'm not sure I believe that, but I'll trust him at his word.
And by the way, those people that say this is the worst call ever to happen in Iowa athletics were not alive in March of 1980, were they, Mark?
Nope.
Jim Bain still wins because that phantom call cost Iowa basketball a Big Ten championship on that particular day. And Kevin Boyle was no closer to that play and that call on that foul by Jim Bain than he is right now, wherever he may be behind a desk. 319-366-1600. Lot of texts here. There are a couple that you want to get to real quick, Mark, as I kind of peruse through them here.
Yeah, our friend John, weighing in. Shouldn't the play have been blown dead after Cooper touched the ball? It was a fair catch. I think the supervisor official said as much.
Yes.
He didn't go as far to say, you know, they made a mistake, but once again, there was no whistle, no flags. Minnesota defenders pursued DeGene as if it wasn't a fair catch. So I guess the answer to the question is yes.
Good one from 1862 here on the text line. Disappointed with the loss. That's on Brian, but mostly feel bad for Coop. He made an epic play that was robbed from him. I would agree because they showed Cooper DeGene and his reactions on the sidelines. And, you know, Cooper looked like he just lost his best friend. Didn't know what he did wrong. I'm sure they talked with him, LeVar Woods, others, and explained it, have explained it since in the 48 hours since. But I felt really bad for him. Really, really bad for him and the USC defensive lineman that was thrown out in that Utah game for viciously targeting.
Oh, hit him in the head, yeah.
The Utah quarterback.
The DeGene's return would have been one of the most epic plays in Iowa history. And I don't think that's hyperbole, given the circumstances. 0520, if it was a quote-unquote fair catch, then Minnesota should have been flagged for hitting DeGene. Well, actually, 0520, DeGene would have been flagged for trying to advance a fair catch.
Very true.
Both things are true, I think.
Yeah, I would say. Cooper is the best player in the field. He has to have more touches. 2 weeks to get him ready. He's a new quarterback. He's never going to be the quarterback, but man alive, after watching Iowa-Minnesota on Saturday, I am a believer, Mark, that Cooper DeGene needs to be on the field for some offensive plays, especially after watching Utah-USC on Saturday night when Utah had their dual threat player out there and made a huge difference and helped Utah win that football game.
Yeah, that's a side story that's debatable. We've talked about it for a couple, 3 weeks here. He is the best player on the field. He happens to play defense and return kicks pretty darn good. So I don't know. I don't know what the answer is there.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. Yes, an illegal fair catch signal has been called before. Mike Halassa had that in his column today in the Cedar Rapids Gazette.
Invalid fair catch.
We got to get the terminology right on this. Invalid fair catch. We're going to get to the offense coming up here in just a little bit, because that's the second prong of all this. And on how it's going to play out, how it didn't play out, et cetera, et cetera. And we will do that, but we want to get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update here with Mark. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway at First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids. They are open at 4 o'clock Monday through Saturday. Stop on by. Be a beautiful night to be out on the patio. Sun is out. And big thanks to Dave and Jamie and Chris and everybody over at Emil's. And by the way, speaking of Dave, we'll get to that coming up in a moment.
Yeah, we want to acknowledge, too, the Northern Iowa terrific football win on Saturday over North Dakota, the number 9 ranked team in FCS. One of UNI's better victories in a while, and keeps them alive for a possible playoff berth, although the schedule is very difficult going forward. Speaking of offensive coordinators, Arkansas fired offensive coordinator Dan Enos in his first year of his second stint at Arkansas after the Razorbacks lost to Mississippi State 7-3. Enos's offense was averaging 26.5 points per game. And as far as the Emil's Hideaway pick six, Dave is the winner. Pretty good week for all. He, I, and Spencer all 4-2. You were 3-3. And we'll get to more picks. An interesting slate coming up this Friday.
Yeah, we will have that. Isaac, who is our winner?
That's going to be John, and I will give him a call in just a couple minutes.
Okay. John, you get a $30 gift card from Emil's Hideaway. And congratulations for selecting Dave. We all had a good week, though, as you mentioned. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. We've gone over the officiating part of things on Saturday. We're going to come back, talk about the offense, and we'll do that when we return. You're listening to the Gym Class on a Monday, presented by DePaco Community Credit Union here on KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather from 1600 ESPN.
I'm meteorologist Rebecca Kopelman with your weather first forecast, and it is going to be a windy and warm day. We'll have some more sunshine this afternoon, and temperatures will be climbing into the upper 60s and low 70s. Winds will be gusting as high as 30 miles per hour. Tonight, we'll have temperatures dropping down just to a low around 60 as we stay clear and breezy. Tomorrow, temperatures will climb into the mid 70s. We'll start the day dry with the chance for rain increasing late Tuesday. That's your latest Iowa's News Now weather first forecast.
Remember the complaints you used to get from your family about snoring? You haven't heard those in a while, have you? And how about the way you wake up feeling refreshed in the morning instead of worn out? There's no question your CPAP or BiPAP machine treats your sleep apnea and makes a big difference in your life. So keep your CPAP or BiPAP performing well. Come to CarePro Home Medical's free walk-in CPAP BiPAP clinic October 26th at either the Cedar Rapids or Coralville location between 3 and 5 p.m. Just bring your machine along, and CarePro's respiratory therapist will check the pressure settings, tubing, filters, masks, headgear, and humidifiers. They'll see if any of the pieces need adjustment or replacement, and they'll replace your disposable filter. They want to make sure you keep getting top-notch treatment for your sleep apnea. You probably know the friendly people at CarePro go above and beyond, but if you haven't met with them yet, come to the CPAP BiPAP Clinic and see just how great they are. Connect with the people and answers you need at CarePro. CarePROHealthServices.com.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the adult league, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl off Williams Boulevard Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
Hey, sports card collectors. We have a store for you in Coralville, RK Collectibles. We have a huge selection of baseball, football, basketball, UFC, soccer, and much more. We have new releases of trading cards, vintage and former Hawkeyes, and great prices on new Pokemon releases. RK Collectibles has the best selection of hobby boxes you'll find in Iowa. We're located at the corner of Highway 965 and Oakdale Boulevard, just north of Coral Ridge Mall. Stop in.
Hey, why are everybody's leaves out?
Leaf vacuum day, buddy.
How do you guys all know this?
It's right on my phone. See?
Huh. Nothing's on my phone.
Well, you're signed up at crnewsnow.com, right? That's how the city of Cedar Rapids lets you know.
Don't they just sign me up automatically or something?
No. You actually have to sign up at crnewsnow.com. It takes like 3 minutes.
No more missed leaf day. I like it.
Fall leaf vacuum collection continues through December 8th. Never miss the leaf vacuum again. Sign up at crnewsnow.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM. Spencer on sports, warming up in the bullpen. He'll be here from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And then also, we've got pivotal game number 7, deciding game number 7, coming up later on for you tonight in the American League Championship Series between the Houston Astros and the Texas Rangers. And the way it should appropriately go, Mark, to the end. And I hope to get a couple minutes to talk about baseball. We'll talk with Cal Eldred coming up tomorrow as we get ready for Game 6 between Philadelphia and Atlanta from Citizens Bank Ballpark. Phillies need a win to advance to the World Series. But, Javier against Scherzer tonight in that one. Like I said, hope to get to that in just a little bit. We could talk all day about the call or the lack of a call or the reversal of a call. Let's get to the Iowa offense here, Mark, at 319-366-1600, 8186, our friend. Iowa won that game. Deacon scored at least 3 times on that one drive before halftime. Very true. Yet another thing for replay and a buoy right there. As far as keeping replay is concerned. Listen, it's an Iowa offense, Mark, that put up, can we say offense? Total yardage on Saturday, 127 yards for this Iowa football team. They were outpossessed almost 3-1. Minnesota had the ball almost 46 minutes in that game on Saturday to Iowa's 13-28. Iowa threw for 116 yards. They rushed for 11. 11. Iowa's biggest gain on the day was a 7-yard quarterback sneak. A 7-yard quarterback sneak. Let that sink in for a little while. We've been talking about over the years how this offense maybe just getting worse and worse and worse, et cetera, et cetera. This had to be the low point. Had to be the low point. Are there going to be changes coming around? Well, more than likely not. More than likely not. And if you're asking for Brian Ferentz to be let go during the season, it's not going to happen. I think we've pole vaulted over that. But whether it's Joe Labus, whether something changes, whether Cooper DeJean comes in for a few plays, I really don't know at this point, Mark, what you can do to help out this offense. It's just not working right now.
No, it isn't. And I ask myself why. And 5 short years ago, Scott, 2018, with Kirk Ferentz as head coach and Brian Ferentz as offensive coordinator, that offense averaged 31.2 points per game. What was the difference? By the way, that team finished 8-4 in the regular season. What was different about the offenses? Nate Stanley, much better quarterback than what Iowa has now. Goodson and Sargent at running back, called a coin flip. Offensive line had Wirfs and Alaric Jackson. Tight ends in Fant and Hockenson. Beyond that, Chris Doyle was the strength and conditioning coach, and Reese Morgan was in his last year as an assistant coach at Iowa. Morgan, very instrumental in recruiting in his career, as have been other assistants. Could it possibly be talent?
Somewhat. You got to have the Jimmies and the Joes, as they say. 0945 with that text, piggybacking on what you're saying, Mark. This team really misses Reese Morgan as O-line coach and recruiting. I couldn't agree more. Could not agree more. Knowing Reese Morgan, great guy, brilliant football coach, and a great recruiter and a great motivator. Say what you will about the current staff. This team misses Reese Morgan. This team misses Morgan.
I think you have to take a dive into what has happened 5 years ago. And I just outlined, you know, the same cast of characters, minus Doyle and Morgan, and maybe several players, averaged 31.2 points a game. Has Kirk and Brian changed their philosophy? Yes, but why? And that's why I point to the talent and recruiting. And that's no offense to the players who bust their rear ends every weekend, but that fact may be more true than a lot of us realize. And, you know, now that the fans are flaming towards Kirk and Brian, some going as far to say Kirk ought to resign. And I disagree with that, although he's going to go out on his own terms with a resignation or serving out his contract, which runs through 2029. He's going to go out on his own terms because I was not going to fire him for 42 million reasons. That's the dollar buyout if Kirk Ferentz were fired at this point. You can't absorb $42 million. And as far as Brian Ferentz goes, aside from the talent, I really don't have the answer in terms of, you know, why this offense has gone sour. I think Iowa should look in a different direction for offensive coordinator. Maybe Brian needs to be repositioned on the staff. Maybe he needs to be let go altogether, but it's clearly something's amiss right now, and it goes from everything to play calling to talent level.
319-366-1600. Yes, I agree. Talent-wise, and if you think it's just as easy as snapping your fingers and 4 and 5 stars are going to come to Iowa City, or Ames, or wherever, especially now. It would be easier 10 years ago. Now with NIL and basically the Wild West, and basically this is pro ball, you're paying players to play. It is going to be to the nth degree tougher for, say, Iowa to bring in big-time recruits. Even on the offensive line, even on the defensive line, there is going to be more and more emphasis put on this coaching staff, if it stays together, to develop players even more. People don't like to hear that Iowa and Iowa State are developmental programs. Well, that was in the old days of college football. This is a new version of college football. They have to do what they did before and double and triple their efforts, because you're just not going to outbid Ohio State. You're not going to outbid Oklahoma. You're not going to outbid the top dogs for the top talent. It's just, it's that simple.
And it's always been that way. Iowa gets, brilliant players along the way. The Brooks kid from Kennedy apparently is a very, very good get. And there are others as well. Missed on Caden Proctor. He's had his moments for Alabama. But you're right. It's largely been a developmental program. And, once again, you can agree or disagree that Kirk ought to resign. This is the price of being a head coach. And Kirk Ferentz is very well aware of that. But something's got to change offensively. And the thing that really kind of, it doesn't rub me the wrong way, but people say, well, the offense runs through Kirk Ferentz. Well, what about the defense? Does it not run through Kirk Ferentz, or does Phil Parker have complete autonomy, unlike Brian Ferentz?
Good question. Very good question out there. Matt agrees with you 100%, Mark, but who recruits this talent, or in this case, lack of talent? I think Iowa has talented football players. Now, are they developing as well as others in the past have? That might be the answer. Are they put in situations where they are not going to succeed? That's another question that you have to ask. When you talk about the Iowa offense, here's the stat. Here's the stat that you need to know. This year, Iowa has 2,656 punting yards. Iowa has 1,859 yards of total offense this year. That's a pretty glaring stat, even with the nation's number one punter out there.
And it was only a week ago that Iowa beat Wisconsin in Madison, and people were saying, God, Kirk's the next Bobby Fischer in terms of a chess player, doing what he needs to do, getting the pawns in the right place and eventually capturing the king. That may be going overboard a little bit, but things change so much in a week. This offense has been fragile for a couple years now. And like I said, something needs to be done. But once again, Kirk Ferentz is going to go out on his own terms. You can suggest he should retire right now. You may be right. I think you're wrong. He's figured things out before. Whether he can figure them out again now, it's going to be a tall task. I mean, because every game going out here is winnable.
It's also losable.
Losable.
By the way, watch Rutgers. Northwestern coming up in 2 weeks. But with that in mind, I will ask this to the listening audience out there, and you, Mark, and others. Is this to me? This is a perfect time for a bye. We had a couple of texts a little bit earlier on saying that Iowa looked tired. They have a late bye this year, 8 games prior to it, 4 games after. They need a time to refresh. They need a time. If there was ever a time to somewhat hit the reset button, not going to be totally, because if you know Kirk Ferentz for a quarter of a century, it's not going to be a total redo. But to hit a little bit of a reset button, I think this bye could not come at a better time.
Probably in this case, yes, because of the circumstances by which it happened. I mean, folks, this is a 2-point loss that probably should have been a 2-touchdown victory. But ultimately, is a 2-point loss. One of the fumbles led to an easy Minnesota field goal. one of the texters said, would this seven even been reviewed had DeJean gone down to the 5-yard line? I don't know. At that point, Iowa would have kicked a game-winning field goal, though, and been 7-1, whether it's been pretty or not. I mean, that's what, you know, I think ultimately for the Iowa fan, the most important thing, the most important stat is wins.
True.
Which Kirk Ferentz has done that 71% of his time since 2018, and even before that. He's had two losing seasons since his first two. That's the past. Nobody wants to think about the past. Nobody wants to think about the 10-win seasons. Nobody wants to think about him being coach of the year. Nobody wants to think about reaching Big Ten championship games. It's now and in the present. What have you done for me lately? And I was not winning any beauty pageants on offense, far from it. But still a respectable season possible. Also a dud of a season.
Could go. It could go either way at this point. More texts coming in. 8879 asking why would Cade return to this mess? See him entering the portal. Who knows? I'll say this: Cade McNamara is right there next to Kirk Ferentz and Brian Ferentz on the sideline. As of right now, he's all in this program. Now, what happens in the off season, especially in this day and age of college football? Who knows? 5711 also reminding us Minnesota had their bye week. They had 2 weeks to get ready for Iowa. I give Minnesota credit. Defense played very, very well, or maybe it was the lack of Iowa offense that made the Gopher defense look good. But if Iowa's not moving the ball against the number 60 defense in the country, you know, what's going to happen a little bit more down the line? That remains to be seen. And also, talking about the Iowa touchdown just before halftime, Minnesota gave Iowa 40 free yards, if you recall, on that particular drive. Or Iowa might not have gotten into the end zone on that one, really, Mark.
Yeah, the big challenge for Kirk Ferentz clearly is fixing this offense, and whether it's saying adios to his son, that would be a tough thing to do. Family is family. Almost every team in the Big Ten, Scott, has nepotism going on in its coaching staff. Almost every one of them has a son or son-in-law or nephew, what have you. So it's not new to Iowa, but something clearly has to be done to the offense, whether it's recruiting, whatever. You know, you really want Kirk Ferentz to resign? Do you realize how many multiple problems that would cause potentially? Number one, who replaces him? And the same people whining right now about Kirk Ferentz are going to whine about that new coach. Well, we couldn't do any better than that. And then there's recruiting. What kind of impact will it have on recruiting and current players entering the transfer portal should Kirk Ferentz leave? I mean, if you really want him to resign, you better face up to those facts as well.
And to add to that, if you're talking about recruiting or lack of recruiting, when the crowd fires up or has the T-shirts that are now very popular of Fire Brian, what does that say to a 3-star or maybe every once in a while a 4-star offensive player who is on the sidelines listening to that? 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class on KGYM. We're depressing 7706. I don't want to depress anyone out there. This team is still 6-2. That's the bottom line. They have 2 weeks to get their act together a little bit more. This team, Mark, as you said, can still finish 10-2 on the year. They can also finish 6-6 pretty easily.
Exactly. Ralph in Riverside on the text line. Anyone who says Kirk should be fired or resign today and never show his face again, where have you been the last 20 years? Kirk will right the ship and continue to act with class and honor. which I can't say about some of the fans.
Yeah. Well put, Ralph. Greg and Epworth, thanks for listening again. What's the impact of any skilled position player deciding where to go when they see the pathetic excuse of an offense on the field? I've had so many people that have asked me when was the last truly top-notch Iowa wide receiver that the Hawks have brought in. Whew.
Well, Amir Smith-Marset's in the NFL, right?
Yes, he is. Now, as far as recruiting...
Iowa receiver I know that's in the NFL.
Correct, but was he a big-time recruit? If I recall, two- or three-star. He wasn't like a four-star guy coming in. I think the last was DJK was probably the last big star guy, and maybe Keenan Davis before that, Mark.
Yeah, my memory grows short in that regard, but, you know, there's no Quinn Early's walking around. There's no Tim DeWight's. Well, I take that back. There's Cooper DeJean. But, yeah, the wide receiver position has not been one that, if you use that as a measuring stick getting to the NFL, Iowa has not been great in that regard.
Yeah. 351 here on the Gym Class for a Monday on KGYM. Thank you very much for all the great texts. Appreciate it. Marvin McDutt. Marvin was a very, very good receiver. Very, very good. I'm just kind of thinking about top-notch recruits that have been brought in. I mean, guys that have developed, yes, absolutely. Marvin McDutt is there. Amir Smith-Marset, he is in there as well. Used to do it a lot all the time under Hayden Fry. I'm just thinking of got like three and four-star wide receivers that have had a chance to get. Our friend Willie Guy from Memphis. Absolutely. Willie, if you're listening, I know you do at times. Hope you're having a great day here today. We need to take a break. Come back. We'll try to wrap things up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class best we could here on KGYM. Back after this.
One innocent click could lock down your entire network for ransom. Hackers are getting more and more devious, so teach your employees to check before they click. When you open an email, hover over the address to see where it's really coming from. If it doesn't match, is misspelled, or looks off in any way, delete it. Remember, any email could be a trick, so check before you click. This message presented by Network Computer Solutions. Download their complete Protect Your Network guide at ncsei.com.
Sitting in a work vehicle is just part of the job, but being uncomfortable isn't. A bad seat can hurt your back and cause an injury that takes you and your vehicle out of commission. Auto Interiors and Convertibles has the solution. They'll overhaul that seat, redo the foam, tune up the springs, and repair the upholstery if it needs it. You won't believe how much better it feels to have your seat in that seat all day. For farm, construction, or service vehicle seat repairs, get in touch with Auto Interiors and Convertibles in Cedar Rapids. AutoInteriorsCR.com.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-687-5192. That's 800-687-5192. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-687-5192.
Back with you as we wrap things up here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Spencer on Sports coming your way next from 4 until 6. We'll keep you updated on Game 6 between the Phillies and the Diamondbacks. And we've got Game 7, deciding Game 7 coming up tonight. It will be Javier on the mound for the Houston Astros against Max Scherzer as he gets the ball second time in about, a month and a half or so. Did not fare real well the first time for the Texas Rangers. We'll see what happens coming up tonight. We'll get to that in a moment. I've opened Pandora's box here, Mark, as far as everyone talking about wide receivers. And Marvin McNutt, yes, he was not even a wide receiver in high school. Do remember that. He was a quarterback coming in from Iowa, from high school to the Iowa Hawkeyes. I'd have to go back and look if Keegan Johnson and Arlen Bruce were both four stars. I think Bruce was. I do think Bruce was. But they are not there anymore. They are not there anymore. Iowa's had a few, bottom line, good receivers coming in over the years. And, you know, they've been okay. They certainly haven't been, for the most part, all Big Ten caliber. And as 3474 and others reminding us, Cade McNamara is probably not, has 600,000 reasons why he is not going to be leaving into the transfer portal. I would probably agree with that.
Yeah, that's for sure. Trying to take another deep breath here, Scott.
And, Spencer, are you ready for this?
I want to thank all the listeners for the interactions, Mark and Marion on the phone line. And it's great when we have our listeners involved.
We do. And whatever side you're on, we appreciate you. Thank you for weighing in here today. And, it's going to be... It's going to be an interesting week. Hopefully, it's going to die down a little bit. Hey, you know what? If this was true football fashion, we'd have flushed this 24 hours ago. But, hey, we're in sports talk radio, and we can't do that. We have to expand on this. A lot of people asking, why not Joey Labus at quarterback? Maybe this week something in practice clicks. Maybe that tide turns. I don't know. We will see at Wrigley Field coming up a week from Saturday. Speaking of baseball, who wins tonight, Mark? Who do you like, Texas or Houston?
I don't know. Scherzer's the wild card, and it's been a heck of a series. Back and forth, obviously 3-3. I always thought Houston would have an edge. Javier's been good in the postseason. I don't know. It's just, I think, Houston has too many weapons, but I've said that before. Scherzer's the wild card, though.
I would agree. If Scherzer comes out dealing tonight, Rangers have a chance. This is the way the American League should have come down, Mark. These two teams tied in the regular season. Tiebreaker went to Houston. They get the home field. I'm going with the Astros in this one, which means the Texas Rangers win it tonight 8-1. That's probably what is going to be the case. We'll have it for you tonight at 6:30 right here on 1600 ESPN. Tomorrow we'll talk about both of the series with Cal Eldred. We might have a World Series to discuss as well. That'll be coming up on the Tuesday edition of the program, and probably more and more about football. Good show, Mark. Have a great night. We'll talk tomorrow.
Thanks, Scott. You too. Talk to you then.
All right. Spencer on Sports coming your way next right here on 1600 ESPN. Have yourselves a great night.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive.